Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. It says, "And Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" I'm going to talk to you about a certain doctrine that's sort of neglected some churches. In this day and age, no one really wants to hear about doctrine, but this is a doctrine. And when Satan was trying to tempt our Lord, he tried to get him to change the rocks into bread because he was hungry. But Christ told him that man needs both spiritual food and physical food. He says, you must live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need to live by every word of God. But in order to do that, we must first have every word of God. We must have every word of God to live by every word. How do we know that we have every word? Well, it's written in the Bible, God promised to preserve his words for us.
Right.
And this is on the doctrine of the preservation of God's words.
Yeah. Amen.
First, how did we get the word of God? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, 1 Peter 1:21, and all scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. God inspired his word. God inspired the men to write it, and they were just his pens. The inspired word of God is pure, infallible, and holy. But the last of the Bible was inspired over 1,900 years ago, and the originals have long since disappeared. But if we no longer have these originals, how are we supposed to live by every word of God? Well, God promised to preserve them. Here are just some of the scriptures. Psalms 12, verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words. A silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Jesus Christ even assured us that his words will never pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. Luke 21:33. Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law to all be fulfilled. Matthew 5:18. King David praised the Lord because his truth endureth forever. God's word is the truth.
Yeah.
For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalms 105. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Psalms 117. Prophet Isaiah tells us that the word of the Lord shall stand forever. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. And Peter expands on this. In 1 Peter, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of men is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel was preached unto you. So those are just a few of the many scriptures I found that say that God preserved his word. That's just a few. God's inspired. So how does this preservation happen? Well, if God could use holy men of God to inspire his word as it pens, he surely could have used holy men to preserve it. The manuscript evidence for the even shows it has been preserved. 95% of all available New Testament manuscripts agree with each other. from which the Textus Receptus and the King James Bible came from.
Right.
You might ask me, where did I get this 95% from? I got it from a book written by Dr. D.A. Carson called The King James Version Debate, where he tries to bash the King James Bible and even the belief that God has preserved his words. But in it, he is forced to admit that fact. He doesn't know what to do about it, but he's forced to admit it. God preserved his word forever. It wasn't preserved, period.
Right.
In fact, the Bible makes it very clear that he preserved it forever. The words of the Lord are pure words. Joshua helped keep them from his generation.
Right.
So preserve them from his generation forever. His words have been with us since he inspired them, and they shall always be with us. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Peter said, the word of God liveth and abideth forever. Forever is forever.
Right.
David says in Psalms 119, actually, it wasn't David, I don't know who wrote that, but concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast found in them forever. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy judgments, righteous judgments, endure forever.
Yeah.
Psalms 119, 152 and 119, 160. God's word endures forever, so we can be sure that we have God's infallible, perfect, holy word with us today. But who did God preserve his word for?
Yeah.
Did he preserve his word for the people, or did he preserve it from the scribes and the Pharisees?
Yeah.
Did he preserve his word for the common Christians, or for the scholars?
Yeah.
Turn with me to the shortest chapter in the Bible, Psalms 117. Psalms 117. And hold your finger there and turn over a few chapters back to Psalms 100. It says in Psalms 117, "Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. The truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord."
Amen.
In Psalms 100, verses 1, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Verse 5, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations."
Yes.
Psalms 117 and Psalms 100 say it's preserved for the people. The people were praising God because he preserved his word for them.
Amen.
The nations, the people, were praising God because his truth endured for them.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, today's scribes, the Bible scholars, would have you think that you have to go through them to get the Word of God because they think it's only available in the Greek and the Hebrew. They believe it's preserved only in the original languages, and that no translation could ever be perfect. They don't seem to remember that it might be impossible to man, but all things are possible to God, to make a perfect translation.
Amen.
According to your scholars, in order to get access to the perfect Bible, you must spend hundreds or thousands of dollars to go to Bible school and learn Greek and Hebrew. Because you have to be fully fluent in Greek and Hebrew, according to them, to understand the Bible. Then you have to go out and buy the most latest edition of the Greek and Hebrew that you can find. But then you realize that those aren't perfect. At least that's what they'll tell you. So then you have to keep buying more editions as they come out, as the scholars, quote, make them more perfect as they find more manuscripts. You slowly start to realize that they'll never be perfect. So you have to, as we take more Bible school studies, eventually get a doctor of theology and textual criticism.
Yeah.
Then you would know for yourself how to figure out which Bible manuscript goes in and which doesn't. But you realize And in the thing, you will be a Bible scholar. Because according to them, you have to become a Bible scholar to know the Bible. According to the Bible scholars, you have to become one of them to know the Bible. But you've also will learn their dirty little secret they don't really like to tell anybody. That a lot of these, they don't believe in the preservation at all. They believe it was infallible and originals only. And that we don't have the infallible Word of God. But, as I just told you, went through the Bible scriptures, God promised to preserve His Word.
Right.
So to get the infallible Word of God, you could spend thousands of dollars and go to Bible school. Or go and buy one of these.
Well, amen.
Now, which of these sounds more available to common man? And it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, if the common man does not have access to every word of God, how are we supposed to keep this commandment?
Right.
I mean, that's a commandment from God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I mean, therefore, are we who do not know the Greek and Hebrew willfully disobedient of God's commandment? When we are required to give account of God, will He say, what will we say? We say, we couldn't live by every word because we couldn't afford to learn Greek and Hebrew. No, that's not the case because God preserved His Word for the people. To re-quote one of Martin Luther's famous quotes, a simple layman armed with Scripture is to be believed above a seminary or doctor of theology without it. God preserved His Word for the people. Therefore, God's infallible Word can be found in common language of the people, not just in the original languages. God's Word is also preserved to the very Word. As it says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God expects us to live by every word. He must have preserved it to every word. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Psalms 119:160, every one of them endures forever. Jesus Christ Himself says words will not pass away. Heaven and earth shall not pass away, but my words shall not pass away. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled. Matthew 5:18. That basically means no, not even a letter or punctuation mark will even disappear. And now Jesus Christ Himself declared it. It's true. The Word was preserved to the very words. Now we can see that God has preserved His words. He preserved His words forever. He preserved His word for the people. He preserved His word to the Word.
Yeah.
Now you know that it's preserved. Now what are you going to do with it?
Yeah. Amen.
Now you know they have preserved Bible. What are you going to do with it?
Yeah.